Good morning. Good to see everyone. What a blessing it is to hear her sing and to just prepare our hearts for the message. I have to tell you, it's true. If God wasn't in my story, I would not be here today. So I'm thankful we get this chance to just think about what he does in our lives. So thank you, Taylor, for preparing our hearts with that song. So before we dig in, I have a story about a member of my family. She's not here, so I asked her permission to share, and she let me do this. So I was there to see this one the day she was born. And I remember changing her tiny little diapers when she could practically fit in one hand of mine. And I remember still putting together furniture for her pink bedroom. Mike, I helped paint her room 3 times. That was before she turned 3. We painted her room 3 times. I don't enjoy painting, so I mentioned that. And, you know, I was there for the very first steps she took to make sure she didn't fall. And I taught her how to conquer obstacles when she got just a little bit older. And I remember catching her when she was absolutely convinced that she could handle the monkey bars. And so early on in my relationship with my daughter, Gracie, she was about 2 years old, you know, learning how to talk. I remember looking at her with my heart. My heart was so full. You know, you look at your daughter, there's nothing like it. And I come up to her and I said, "Gracie, Daddy loves you so much." And I will never forget her response. This was her response. She looks at me, she goes, she giggled and she ran away. And so I thought, huh? Strange reaction. You know, I thought for sure she'd tell me that she loves me back. A little reciprocation. I painted her room 3 times. She was 2. But those of you know, those of you who know Grace, you know that she can be pretty shy, right? So I thought, okay, maybe she didn't quite know how to express her love just yet. So I said, okay, shrug it off, right? Well, a few days later, I will not forget this, I am in the kitchen, and Jamie's there feeding Gracie. And I see this moment, the corner of my eye, as I'm reaching into the fridge to get the snack, as I do all the time. And Gracie grabs Jamie's face like this, with both of her hands, and squeezes it and says, "Mommy, I love you so much." So, as any reasonable parent might conclude, this was a matter of competition. And so for months after that, I tried to get my daughter to tell me she loves me. I tried everything. Cupcakes, little dates, and after each attempt to woo her, I'd tell her, "I love you, Gracie." And for over a year of those attempts, she would happily take the treat and say, same exact response. I call it the non-committal giggle. You know, it's amazing. Kids are wonderful works of God's creation, aren't they? And so the title of today's message is Love God More. Love God More. God calls us to love him. So this morning, we have one goal, all right? And if we succeed in this goal, then I would be really happy. And the goal is to leave here today committing to love God more. So before we get into the word, let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful that we get to think about your word. And Lord, in your word, you share with us your heart. You share with us your love for us. And Lord, I pray that you just allow these words to come from you and not from me today. And so we just commit the rest of this time to you, Lord. I pray that you bless this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's open our Bibles, if you can. I have a few verses today, a small number. So if you're able to follow along on your Bibles, it might be great to mark them down. But thankfully, we have them on the screen. We're going to start with our main verse today, which is Mark 12. It's in Mark 12, and we're going to start at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked of him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." I'm going to read that last part again. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. So, you know, right away from this verse, we can glean two immediate facts, right? First, God commands us to love him. He commands us to love him. And second, Jesus was quoting the scripture from the Old Testament. And second, Jesus definitively says that loving God is the most important of all of God's commandments. These are the facts that guide our conversation today. So I'm just going to repeat the facts again, right? First, God commands us to love him. And second, loving God is the most important of all the law. So those are the two facts. But when it comes to our topic of love, facts are rarely in focus as much as feelings, right? So let's talk about feelings for a moment. And so if you're anything like me and you've ever tried to meditate on this verse, you've probably come across this verse and felt a little bit awkward. Awkward enough to feel justified to put this one away for another time. I mean, loving the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You know, maybe that's one to save for later when I'm a better Christian. And so perhaps you felt it, and maybe you've read it, and perhaps you felt a little bit of shame, right? It's a hard one to keep up with. It's a big ask. And maybe here's another perspective, right? And I just want to lay it all out there if we're talking about feelings. You know, maybe you felt this: I love God, but it feels odd that I'm commanded to love him. Isn't love something that I get to choose freely? To give it freely? And just like my daughter Gracie, don't I get to express my love when I'm ready? Right? Am I sinning when I'm not feeling my love for God? And so, you know, if you're familiar with any of these feelings, and I saw a few nods, thank God. If you're familiar with any of these feelings, brother and sister, let me tell you, you are in the right place. There's no need to keep those feelings in the dark. Instead, God invites us to speak light into our hearts through the word, and that's why we're here. And so I'd like for us to consider 3 points today, and my hope is that we consider these points and are encouraged to open our hearts, our soul, our mind, and our strength to love God more. So 3 points. My first point is this. Loving God is our greatest purpose in life. I'm going to say that again. Loving God is our greatest purpose in life. So this commandment that God gave is the greatest command because it's based on His deep and infinite understanding of who we are. Regardless of who we are, regardless of our unique personality or talents or what we bring to the table, there is one purpose that brings guaranteed and complete satisfaction to any human being who's ever lived. I want to prove that to you. So notice this. We're going to jump over to the first time we hear this verse because, you know, Jesus was quoting from the Old Testament when he shared that commandment, right? So we're going to go to Deuteronomy 6, 3 to 5. This is where we heard this verse first. And it goes, "Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey." And check this out. It says, "So it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." So think about that, right? In this verse, God is telling his people, as my people, you are meant to be special and to abound in blessing. I created you, and I am choosing you to love me. So when God commands us to love him, he's not trying to bully us to do something we don't want to do. He's defining our purpose. He's giving us clarity in a very unclear and confusing world. He recognizes who we can be when we align our hearts, our soul, and our mind with him. God is saying to us today, if you love me, I can't help but employ my infinite power to direct your life and bless it in a way that only I can. We have a verse that we really love in this church, and it's Romans 8:28. And it says this, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him." That's what it means. He recognizes who we can be when we align our hearts, our soul, and our mind with him. And it says that he works for our good when we do so. So that's why it's the greatest command. And that's why I'm so excited to share it with everyone today. Because you know what? So many people are lost, confused, and trying to find purpose. Purpose is an interesting thing, right? Scientists, philosophers, great minds have went into the study of man's greatest purpose. And it's right here. We've complicated this topic so much with careers, with talents, money, but God simply says this, love me. C.S. Lewis puts it in this way, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea." We are far too easily pleased. Loving God is man's greatest purpose. If you're looking for fulfillment, identity, or your place in life, you don't have to look any further, brother and sister. You can start here. Love God more. And if you already love God, which I know many here do, it's something to pursue deeper each day until you die. It's the greatest privilege and joy we will ever experience. And so that's the first point. Loving God is our greatest purpose. My second point for loving God more is that loving God goes beyond the spiritual. Here's the second truth. Loving God goes beyond the spiritual. So our key verse says this, right? That we must love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. So let me ask you a question, and you have to stay with me on this. Did you ever wonder why the God of the Old Testament asked for animal sacrifices? You know, of all things. Why an animal sacrifice? There's many ways to express worship, offering, devotion, love. Why an animal sacrifice? Well, let me just point this verse here. Leviticus 1:9. He says this. The priest is to burn all of it. It's in the middle of that verse. The priest is to burn all of it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. And in this verse, God makes it clear. If you're offering me something, I want all of it. It goes beyond the spiritual. Something you can touch and feel and hold and give and lose. So yes, we come to church. Yes, we sing songs. Yes, we worship and we do our devotions and pray. Those are great spiritual acts. But loving God with our all puts the boundaries beyond the spiritual. God wants all of us, not just our spirit. He wants our strength, our bodies. You know, do we treat our bodies in a way that shows our love to God? He wants our heart, our affection, our feelings. You know, we can guide our emotions to loving God. In fact, God is constantly trying to show us reasons to love Him if we just look. He wants our soul. What's soul? Our identity. You know, when you look at an item or you listen to music, you say, this song has soul. There's something unique about it. And we call that the soul. Now, I can write a program to praise the Lord. I can write it to say, I love you, God. You know, I can write it to say, I love you, God, every 20 milliseconds. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. Would that bring Him glory? No, because it has no identity. And God wants our identity. Amen. And so my question is this. Does our identity demonstrate our love for God? Does it come out of who we are? And finally, He wants our mind. He wants our attention and focus. And young ones here, I want you to listen up. Many times, this is where we lose the battle. You know, life is full of distraction. Algorithms influence how we think. And I'm concerned about how the world is blurring the lines of what is real. It's really, really getting harder to tell what is real and what is not. And so I want us all to hear this one. God wants to love him more with our mind. You know, as a society, we are getting more and more disconnected from the consequences of sin. It's like sometimes you listen to some news, you know, report, and it's like, is that really happening? Did someone really do that? So please, everyone here, we have to be more careful with the ideas filling our minds. Everywhere we look, ideas of greed, vanity, self-centeredness, self-sufficiency, and everything call our attention away from what is true and good and godly. And loving God with our mind requires us to protect that. Loving God goes far beyond the spiritual. That was the second point. My last point today is this. Loving God requires us to remain near the cross. Loving God requires us to remain near the cross. I want to invite you all to one last scene in the Bible this morning. You know, the only way to love God more is to truly understand how much he loves us. And so this is where we'll end today. If you'll open with me to John 19, we'll start in verse 25, John 19. Remember I said, loving God requires us to remain near the cross. Now imagine this scene with me. Try to get there. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." So imagine that scene with me. And there, near the cross, as Jesus was about to die, were four people standing by his feet. John was the only apostle there. We don't know where the rest of them went or where they stood, but John was there near the cross of Jesus. You know, it's said in his writings that John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, not because he felt he was special or Jesus favored him, but to clearly point out his identity to the love of Jesus. He gave up his identity in his writings to reflect the love of Christ. It's like he was saying this, "Hey, you know the man Jesus who loves me, who discipled me, who allowed me to lean on his chest and feel his heart beat? Do you know this God who washed my feet? Come into my place right here. He loves you too, because he went to the cross for you as well." So here's the truth. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And the only reason I'm here is because I want you to experience how much Jesus loves you. And trust me when I say this, when you commit to loving him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, he will pour so much of his love in your heart that you won't be able to even help but love him back. Loving God requires us to remain near the cross. It's the love of Christ that allows us to love God. I pray everyone here gets a chance to experience the love of Christ that took him to that cross. You know, when the day I heard Gracie tell me that she loves me, number one, I thought, you know, this is a good thing. Boys better watch out. You know, she's not going to give her heart away to anyone that easily. So I was happy about that. But the second thing, when she told me she loved me, I knew she meant it. When she gives me a hug every time, for the rest of her life, I will know that she really loves me. God wants the same thing from us today. He wants us to give him real love. He showed it through his son, what that love really is. And that's what he's asking of us today. I'm so fired up about this because it's so easy, simple. Love God more. And so if you've never experienced his love before, if you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, maybe your heart is calling out to God today. Don't wait for the distractions of the world to silence God's voice in your heart. Come accept his love right now, and I promise he will fill it with so much love you won't even know what hit you. It is a wonderful experience, and I want it for everyone here. So let's pray and ask the Lord to just bless us this morning. Lord, we love you. Those of us here who've accepted you as our Savior know how great it is to experience your love. And Lord, we just pray that your love be the loudest voice in all of our hearts and our minds right now. We pray, Lord, that you help us share this love with others and that you steer our hearts, Lord, so that we might love you more. Please, Lord, don't allow our love for you to grow cold. And Lord, we pray that you help us love you as you deserve, and you deserve it all. We thank you, Lord, and we just lift this up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.